I'd like to call to order the investigative committee meeting. Staff, roll call, please.
Somerhalder?
Here.
Caputo?
Here.
Cross?
Here.
Dodell?
Here.
Domingo?
Here.
Bukami?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Kalamchi?
Here.
Tappas?
Here.
Levine?
Here.
And Motihari?
Here.
So this is Ryan Edmondson, board staff. Real quick, I just wanted to thank you for being here. I'm going to pass it to Dr. Somerhalder in a quick second. But there's several people in attendance, both virtually and in person. Looks like we have at least one telephonic. There is one telephonic. If you're attending telephonic and want to speak and you're muted right now, either we muted you or you've somehow muted your own phone, you can unmute your own phone. But if you've muted, if we mute you telephonically, you have to hit *6 to unmute. If you're attending virtually, most of us have been through this since March of 2020. But for those that haven't, this is a Google Meet. At the bottom is a camera and a microphone. If the microphone's red, you're muted. So what we would ask is if you're attending virtually or telephonically, just to mute yourselves unless you're going to speak. If you can do the raise your hand caption at the bottom, that would be preferable if you're going to speak from that end. For the rest of us, just wait till you're called upon in person so that we're not all trying to speak at the same exact time. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to Dr. Somerhalder to get us taken away.
Absolutely. First, I'd like to welcome everybody here and thank you for your participation in this committee. I'm going to start on my left, and we'll go ahead and introduce the members that are present.
Good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Fukami.
And if you would, do you have a specialty, general dentist?
Absolutely. I'm a dentist anesthesiologist in private practice in Phoenix, Arizona.
Great. Thank you. If we can keep that same type of introduction, give us all a little bit of knowledge about what we do.
Hi, David Dodell. I'm a general dentist, but I've practiced for the last 10 years because I've been teaching at Midwestern University.
Okay. I'm Deborah Kappas. I'm a dental hygienist.
I'm Mike Domingo. I'm a general dentist with the VA. I'm also the chief of dental services at the 944th Medical Squadron at Luke.
Hello, my name is Salah Kalamchi. I'm an oral surgeon and I have a private practice. Also, I'm the director of oral maxillofacial surgery at Arizona School of Dentistry and Oral Health. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy to join you guys. My first time, I'm Mindy Motihari, general dentist, and I'm also assistant dean for comprehensive care at Arizona School of Dentistry and Oral Health.
I'm Anthony Hero. I'm president of the state dental board and have a general dentistry practice here in Arizona as well. And this will be my one and only meeting that I'm going to be able to attend for this committee, but I appreciate everybody being here.
Let's finish and then we'll go back to staff.
Skip Harris. I'm an oral and maxillofacial surgeon in Cave Creek, Arizona.
Christina, do you want to start? And then we'll jump.
Christina Gomez, Deputy Director.
Sherry Biggs, Assistant Deputy Director.
Dr. Ben Berschler, I'm one of the investigators as a contractor.
Dr. Julie Cutler, Deputy Investigator.
April Romero, Compliance Officer.
Yasmin Bustamante, Executive Assistant.
Mary Ford, Compliance Officer.
And my name is Ryan Edmondson. I'm the executive director of the dental board. And if we could, I'm going to try to help those that are attending virtually and on the phone. And I'll do it based on how I can see it on mine. So if it goes out of order on yours, my apologies. And I will tell you, we don't have the most amazing technology in this boardroom or any other boardroom in this room. So you see a few of us attending virtually. We're all here. But we don't have the ability to pan a camera around. So my apologies, and we're going to work toward getting there, but right now we're not there. So I think the first person that I have on my screen is Dr. Cross.
Tim Cross. I'm an endodontist in Tucson, Arizona, private practice.
The next one I have is on the phone with the area code starting 310.
Yes. Hi, this is Dr. Rebecca Levine. I'm a board-certified periodontist from Lake Havasu City.
Thank you. Dr. Caputo?
Hello, this is Anthony Caputo. I'm an anesthesiologist with a practice in Tucson. I also have a teaching appointment at ASDO, as well as some community health centers here in Arizona, El Rio in southern Arizona, and Winslow Indian Health Center up in northern Arizona. Nice to be with you all.
Thank you. Thank you for your attendance online and virtually.
Item three. Okay, the calls of the public pursuant to ARS 38-431.018, the committee may make an open call to the public during a public meeting subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the committee are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The committee, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Item four, scope of work. Dr. Hero.
So I just want to thank everybody for coming. Based on counsel given by the attorney to the board, they don't want any board members to sit on the committee. So that's why I kind of mentioned at the beginning, it's going to be my one and only meeting here. It can create, I guess, a conflict if cases are being discussed outside of a boardroom for the board member to be in attendance of it. The general purpose of this committee, and I know I've talked to some of you individually, but I haven't had a chance to talk to everybody, is certainly first and foremost to protect the public. We also, you know, in my time on the board, I think there's been some difficulties as a board member in the review and adjudication process of complaints. And I think this committee is going to really help with those difficulties. You know, we wanted to provide more of a transparent process to the licensee and in a fair process for the licensee, but also still serve the board's mission of protecting the public. So Ryan can go through more of the specifics with everything regarding the committee. But again, we appreciate all your service and your willingness to volunteer.
So again, this is Ryan Edmondson, board staff. And this is a kind of a 30,000 foot level of how this will look. I had to say that because we also have the Auditor General's office here, Gail, in the back. And so this isn't going to be delineated enough, but I'm happy to answer any questions. And this is where we're going to open it up a little bit for questions. So what I'd like to start it out with is Mary Williams from the Attorney General's office. Some of you know her and have worked with her in the past in some sort of capacity. And Scott Donald are the assigned attorneys to this board. That will change at some point in the future, probably just completely Scott Donald will be the one that's providing legal advice to the board. But for now, it's a tag team relationship. They could not be here today to help in this process. So what they've asked is that your next meeting, which we'll cover here in a bit, that they want to do a formal training, one to discuss open meeting law and what you can and can't do when you meet in a public forum or public body like this, which is why Dr. Somerhalter read that call to the public, but also to cover other things of what is your role? What are you going to do as your role on this committee for the board and the patients of Arizona that go to dental professionals? If I can, I'll just provide a quick synopsis of what we envision this to look like. And when I say we started, I've been doing this type of work, not with a dental board, but board work since 97. And then there's multiple boards, health boards and non-health boards, that have a similar setup where they have an investigative committee that plays an advisory role to the board to provide information and completed investigation so that the board can have its final adjudication of these cases. And so based on that, Dr. Hero, we got to talking on another committee that the board created, and he had suggested that we should have some sort of investigative committee here. We started the process. We'll cover that in the next on agenda item 5 about the formalization of that committee. Right now, based on your board statute, there is the you have the authority to start this committee. And what how it will work is a complaint will be will come into the office, and it'll be either driven by a client, a patient. The board may even open the complaint. Board staff assigns it out to a couple of investigators. We have three general dentists on staff. You met two of them today, Dr. Ben Bischler and Dr. Julie Cutler. The third is Dr. John Devgan, and we just recently parted ways with Dr. Glenn Hamp, who moved to Tennessee. They will basically be kind of the lead investigator on probably the lion's share of these investigations. And then they will provide a report. The committee will review all of the material that came in, the complaint, the licensee's response, including the subpoenaed records, if any, come in. They'll look at any images that come in and the investigator's report. The investigator's role, we've had this conversation. We had it again on Friday. The investigator's role is simply to provide facts, not a recommendation. That's what you guys would do. But you could call in as part of the investigation. You could call in not necessarily the complainant, but the licensee to come and sit before you and address questions, do kind of an investigative review or an investigative interview, if you will. Right now, the board does not have that opportunity. This committee will. And then you would make a recommendation to the board. There's been some conversation about, well, does this mean that there's going to be double work? No, it appears that way until we actually play this through. Like I said, I've done this since 97. There's a ton of work that happens within these four walls with this committee. They provide a recommendation, and the board then still has the final adjudication to accept, reject, or modify that recommendation that came from the committee. But it would be a committee of peers. Right now, we operate within this standard called IRC, and IRC stands for Internal Investigative Review Committee. And some of the folks that are the non-clinicians that are sitting in here that introduced themselves last, the staff, those are the folks that sit on the committee, along with Doctors Bursler and Cutler and Duvkin. Prior to the three of them, we had one person. And so it almost appeared as though it was a unilateral decision by one person. It never really was, because the board still has the final say, but it's the perception, and perception's reality. So we wanted to make changes to make it look, not look, but give the perception that it is a peer review process. There is a formal investigation, and it is unbiased, and that they're providing the best recommendation to the board, and the board makes the final decision. Did you want to add something to that, Dr. Hero?
I think you did a very comprehensive job there, Ryan. But I would just say the other advantage that we thought this committee would have is really kind of a multifarious approach, where we've got a cross-section of dentists, specialists across not just the city of Phoenix, but the state of Arizona. So as these cases come in, oftentimes, unlike the board, because the makeup of the board can change, and unlike the IRC committee, you're going to get the opinions all at the same time of general dentists, specialists, hygiene. I mean, I'm kind of excited about this process. I think initially, like anything, there's going to be some bumps we got to go through and tweaks we got to make, but I think it's going to be a good thing for the public in the state of Arizona. So I'll turn it back over to Dr. Sommerhalter.
Yeah, thank you. Does anybody have any questions at this time? Virtual.
Anybody attending virtually or on the phone that has questions or comments, not just questions, but comments? Move properly.
Okay. Move that. I propose legislation regarding the investigation committee.
Right. So this is where right now, I told you we have the statutory authority. I always put myself on the board, I have to apologize. And I always say this with our staff, we as staff have to not use that personal pronoun. The board that we actually work for, so we will speak to the board. So the board has statutory authority to start this committee and has done so many times in the past with other committees. So right now it's a volunteer only. So again, we appreciate the volunteerism. It goes without question that this is like a huge endeavor for not just the board, but you guys as individuals. We suspect that it's probably about 40 hours a year, possibly, that you could spend doing this, which isn't an exorbitant amount, but it's a lot of your free time is used helping a dental board to achieve its goals. So we appreciate that. But hopefully we have, fingers crossed, we've struggled this legislative session probably because of COVID, getting meetings lined up with lobbyists. I'm sure you've done swimmingly, done Kevin. But we have struggled getting anybody to take on bills. But I think we're getting closer to the finish line to get somebody to take on this bill to establish a committee. If not, we'll go forward the following year and get it formalized. But what that means is it sets up several things. It's the number of people on the committee. This board has already said they want 11, and most would have a cross-section, whether it's demographic or specialist or whatever it is, they want a cross-section of the dental population and the licensees in Arizona. So they want 11, and there's probably no way you're going to get everybody involved, but you can do it better with 11 than maybe 7. So that's it. The other thing that we've also anticipated is that some of you might get tired of being on this committee maybe within the first 6 months. I remember taking scuba lessons, and the scuba instructor said, I'm looking around, and in 12 months, probably 80% of you guys won't even know what scuba stands for in 12 months. And I haven't been scuba diving since, so I guess he was correct. But if you want to be done and want to, don't feel embarrassed or that you're letting anybody down, it may be an obligation that you've decided that I don't want to undertake, and that's perfectly acceptable. We will reach out and get others involved to take the seat. But if it's an oral surgeon like Dr. Harris to my right, we may try to fill that seat that he left vacant with an oral surgeon. Something like that to kind of keep this cross-section. We've also tried to determine the terms. Can you do unlimited terms? And I think that that's the board wants to stay with an unlimited term. So as long as you want to serve, the board is willing to have you serve, mostly to provide the continuity that Dr. Hero was talking about. And then the length of the term, how long is the term? Right now, the board members sit for about 4 years, but they said maybe we could do a 5-year term. A lot of whatever the board wants still has to be wrangled through the halls of the legislature across the street. And so what they may want may not be what comes out of the legislative process. We're just hoping we get something, and we're hoping for something within those term limits and those kind of guide rails. So with that, I just wanted to let you know that we are formalizing this, and we hope to get it done in this session. We, as in board staff, hope to get that done in this session. We may have to use Dr. Hero or somebody on the board to help us in some of these meetings. But I'm happy to answer any questions on this legislative process if anybody has any questions on that or comments. This won't be the way the investigative interviews will be handled. Hopefully we'll have some more questions. I'll pass it back to you, Dr.
Sure. Item 6, discussion and possible action items for future meeting agendas. Ryan?
So this is an item that you guys will see often. And so if something comes up, especially like the call to the public, because you can't address something at the call to the public. All you can do is listen. You can't even communicate that. But you can instruct board staff, hey, we'd like to see that on a future meeting agenda. And I don't know what that would be. I don't even have an example at this point. But that's what you would do. So this you'll see often. And so with that being said, is there something that, other than the formal instruction from the Attorney General's office regarding open meeting law and what the roles of not just you guys, but staff on the next agenda, what you would like to see? And if there's nothing, that's okay. This will be an ongoing agenda item. Super. So we will try probably not to have any cases on your next agenda. We anticipated that Mary and or Scott would be here and we could go through cases. We may have one or two just so you guys can get an idea of what that looks like, so they have something to basically give instruction from. But that will definitely take up next meeting, probably the lion's share of that meeting is the instruction that they give. We just met with Drs. Bursler, Cutler, and Duggan, and I think it was about an hour and a half, something like that. And it'll be similar. So the question I've gotten already, I will say, actually, we're off topic, so I won't cover that. So I'll pass that back to you.
Sure. Thank you. Staff has proposed item 7, the following committee meeting dates, March 8th, April 5th, May 10th, June 28th, August 9th, September 13th, October 11th, November 8th, and December 6th. And we understand also that this may not be convenient for several, but we'll certainly work with it as we can.
Are those the same day of the week?
Yeah, they're Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
And the same time?
So Dr. Harris is asking about the time and the day of the week. So we were directed that Tuesdays and Fridays are the best days for this profession. I don't know how true that is or isn't, but that's what we were told. So we have a plethora of meetings that meet on Friday. The board is one of those. And in lieu of having a month full of Friday meetings, we said, all right, so we'll switch this one up. We'll do this one. Christina, I don't know if you want to opine on the reason why, but we did it based on the proximity of the board meeting as well. So we want to be able to move cases quicker. So we did a Tuesday. So Friday, if there's instruction from the board, I believe, to the committee, then the committee can start their process on that right away, as opposed to waiting longer. So we tried to do it based on a couple of those factors. And I don't know what times work with you guys. And I want to be cognizant of the folks from Tucson and Lake Havasu even further, and about what time you can meet. So we didn't want to do them at 8 a.m. for certain. The board meets at 8 a.m. I don't know how much longer these in-person or virtual attendance. We're going to try to accommodate for meetings and always for members of the board and the committee if you can't come. We just need a quorum. A quorum is 6 of the 11 have to appear in order for a meeting to happen. So if we send out a notice and agenda, Yasmin introduced herself earlier, and asked for how many people are planning on attending and how do you want to attend, in person or virtual, it would be super helpful if you would at least respond. That way we have a count and know exactly if we will have a quorum. Sometimes we do not know, and it's the day of the meeting. We're like, fingers crossed. And some of the board members have talked to other ones, and they say, yeah, I talked to so-and-so, and they are planning on being here. So those are great. But so these are meetings that are not in pen right now. We've penciled them in on the calendar so that we can reserve these rooms, which is another aspect of why we've chosen these dates. Is there's 23 boards in this building, and they all use the same 3 boardrooms. So we won't always meet in here, but this is boardroom A. Boardroom B is down on the left, which is super helpful to the folks that are attending virtually. And then boardroom C is down on the right. So we'll meet in one of those 3 boardrooms on a consistent basis.
I'm sorry. I think where the day of Friday came from stemmed from the Anesthesia and Sedation Committee. We were just polling the members of that committee, and the consensus tended to be Tuesday afternoon or Friday afternoon. But like Ryan said, these are just suggested. So, now would be a good time to get some opinions if other days may work better.
So there's a question. Oh, Dr. Caputo, go ahead.
I was just wondering, and I apologize if this was already sent out, and certainly direct me there, but I don't see these dates. Is it possible to get them up on a slide or something so I can kind of look at them more broadly, or were they sent out in an agenda?
Yeah, it was sent out in the packet, but I can share my screen. And are you working on that, Yasmin?
Yeah, we can.
We're going to present the screen with those
dates.
That's cool.
Thanks. Yep.
We have the agenda here. Let me show it to you.
Thank you.
I was trying to be a comedian. My kids, I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they crack me up every day. So I always, they tell me the funniest jokes. So I sometimes tend to have this elementary humor. So my apologies ahead of time. There's the dates right there for those that are attending virtually. And again, it's Tuesdays. It looks like 9 meetings post. We'll probably try to meet 10 times a year. This is the first. And then the other 9 are scheduled. And again, we try to do it as close to the board meetings as relevant to the time period around the board meeting. So if Tuesdays don't work, now would be a good time to say they don't work. If mornings don't work, that would be because we have not picked time yet. We'll probably have a conversation with Dr. Sommerhalter to see, as the chair of the committee, what works in his schedule, and then we'll hopefully get some time out. But is there a preference to afternoons or mornings? If you do it too late, you have a tendency to, we can't meet past 5 because we're a state building and we're a public body. So we can't meet past 5 unless we offer the virtual attendance to everybody for that meeting. So it could cause a problem if it's like at 3:00 in the afternoon. So keep that in mind. But I also want to be cognizant of the folks that have to drive. If you're coming in person, the 8 a.m. is probably not super conducive either.
Hi, this is Cynthia. What's the anticipated duration of each of these meetings? 2-3 hours?
It's hard to anticipate, but based on my history of working with boards, I've seen the committees almost last longer than the board meetings.
Okay.
And that being said, I don't know, you could be reviewing like a 10,000-page packet for a meeting, which would be consistent of all the records, so it makes it that. Most of the review happens outside of the meeting. You should come prepared, having had reviewed the files before you come, and then that way the meeting goes along quicker. But I would say for the first few meetings, I would say probably maybe 3 to 4 hours total.
Yeah, the anesthesia and sedation committee meetings tend to be about 2 hours, and these will go a little longer than that. With our board meetings, we're probably through the cases in about 2.5, 3.5 hours, something like that. So I think you're going to be in that 3 to 4 hour mark, like Ryan said. And again, the Tuesday, Friday came up from that committee. Part of the thought was because a lot of the committee members there are anesthesiologists and surgeons, and the afternoons worked better. Fridays got tricky sometimes for some of the surgeons. So because we were only doing Fridays, then we started doing Tuesdays. So for different reasons, those dates came up. Or days of the week came up. Also with the packet, you're going to have access to all the information. I imagine though that based on your specialty and background, you're going to kind of key in on certain cases over others. So if our existing board packet, I think is 3,500 pages. Now all the board members would review all pages, but you know, we have a pediatric dentist on the board. So if there's a pediatric case, she's going to spend a lot more time probably reviewing that than she would an implant case. So, you know, sometimes the number of pages and the length of time can sound a little intimidating. I think it's going to be smoother than what it can sound like.
So 2:00 would be great if we have a hard stop.
2 to 5.
Yeah, 2:00 is good.
We can play around with these times. We have to provide notice and an agenda at least 24 hours before the meeting. We try to do it a whole lot sooner than that to give public an opportunity to appear, and we try to do that about 14 days before the meeting. So we can play around with the times, and we can start with 2. And if we, oh my gosh, we went too long, because what will happen is, if you have a case on an agenda, say you have 10 cases and you get through 8 and it turns 5:00, there's 2 doctors that could be sitting back there waiting till 5 and their case can't be reviewed. So they took time to come down or whatever it is. So just keep those things in mind, that we want to make certain that we progress and move the meeting along as opposed to getting bogged down on a specific topic and that's your job, Dr. Sommerhalter.
Oh, thank you.
So we want to call the question, get a motion, get a second, and vote. And if people have differences, then it'll come out through the vote, as opposed to trying to get everybody in a unanimous vote before we even have a motion.
I'm just.
Oh, Dr. Caputo is back. Is that? Did you raise your hand again, Dr. Caputo?
I did. I just was going to say I would prefer afternoons.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was the other thing that we noticed through the anesthesia and committee meetings that if it is Tuesday, they want it afternoon. So we can take, we'll definitely do the suggestion of March 8th, 2 p.m., and then we'll see how that one goes. It shouldn't, that one won't probably consist of a whole lot more than what we're doing today.
I'm just going to mention, is any possibility of Mondays?
Any possibility? Yeah, sure. I mean, it's your guys' committee. I don't want to dictate to anybody in here. If you guys want Mondays as opposed to Tuesdays, I'm good with that as well.
I don't know if it works for everybody else, though. I just want to see if...
Saturday night.
Yeah, since you're asking for preferences, I would go for Tuesday afternoons.
Like Tuesday afternoon? That was Dr. Krause, Tuesday afternoon. If and when we get this formalized, those that travel, we will be able to reimburse you for your traveling expenses. But if you're located locally in Maricopa County, it's
too bad.
Too bad. You're just supposed to deal with it, I suppose. But most people live pretty close, and if you live in Maricopa County, but those that travel over 50 miles outside of the state, or excuse me, outside of Maricopa County, we reimburse for mileage. So let's stick with this, unless we hear of any, and if anybody's too shy to say anything right now, like these dates are terrible, keep in mind that we just have to have a quorum. That doesn't mean to give you freedom just to blow the committee off, excuse me. If you can make it, please do. If you can't, like if you look at this calendar and you say October 11th is my 25th anniversary, I wouldn't expect you to come in on your 25th anniversary. So if just one of the dates doesn't work, just let us know when Yasmin sends out the packet that I can't attend on October 11th or whatever it is. So does anybody have any questions on this? More comments?
No.
I'll pass it back to Dr. Sommerhalter.
Thank you. Before we go to item 8, which is adjournment, does anybody have any questions or comments, both here in the meeting room, virtually?
I have just a question. Is it appropriate to get a list of all of the committee members' names and their positions? And
yeah, it's a good question.
Make that available to us?
Yeah, I think that's why we wanted to do this, so that everybody can meet each other, so we can share. If anybody doesn't want their contact information shared, just let us know as staff, and we'll give the name, but and possibly what you do. So, Dennis, anesthesiologist, then we'll put that.
Ryan, you can circulate my information along with that in case any committee members has any questions after meetings. They can always reach out to me as well.
Yeah, if I could piggyback on that, we probably need to give you guys some contact information about staff. So that if you can't make a meeting or something, we'll give you that information as well. So we'll send a list. Great question, Deb. That was Deb Kappas's question, by the way.
One question.
Yes.
Is there a dress code? Because I think I'm the only one in scrubs. I don't want to.
We just asked that nobody wear scrubs. Just kidding. Nobody's in scrubs. You're right.
I would normally be.
Yeah, right.
That would be my choice as well. So.
No, you can. There is no dress code. A lot of times, especially if you're working during the day and you're coming directly from an oral surgery appointment, come as you are. Yeah, we would much rather have you here than worrying about a tie or something like that. So, yeah, good, great question, though. That staff is not included in that. No, that's for the staff.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, David O'Dell, so has this changed the role of people that have been acting as independent investigative consultants?
Oh, great question. I actually don't have an answer. The question was, if you're a consultant, and there's several on this committee that are already consultants, that the board chose consultants from the list of consultants, and mostly because people on the on that list have already stated, I want to help out. Save your question for March. I was hoping that that question was going to come up today, but I was also hoping that Mary or Scott were going to be here to address the question. And if I can use Skip Harris on this one, he does a ton of the adverse occurrence cases, quite a few, if not all of them, for the past several years, at least since I've been here. There's a few that maybe he hasn't, but with him now on the committee, that becomes a bigger challenge for somebody to investigate the adverse occurrence cases that we get. So my hope is that we can still use Dr. Harris in that role. He would just have to recuse himself when the matter came before this committee and then just provide the information as an expert witness to not only this committee, but the board.
So if people are continuing in that role, forgetting outside this committee, that their reports would come to this committee versus to the board directly?
Yes. Yep. They would, well, it, I would say, so the question again, if I understood it, if the consultants are writing a report, they're writing it to the committee would be the first person to read it, but I would still address it to the board because the board is the final adjudicator.
I understand that, but we're acting more as a stopgap to the board to help review it more.
Yeah. And there's tons of issues that have come out of some of these investigations that we wish there was another step in the process to make certain that it's fully vetted before the board's making a decision. And I think this will help in that regard.
I was just trying to figure out where all the pieces will go with it to play.
Yeah. And I think that'll probably be hammered out better in March when the attorneys are present or one of them.
There's been multiple occurrences where issues have come out on cases during a board meeting that due to certain statutory violations we couldn't pursue. So we knew that there was a deviation in the standard of care, and it was not something we could pursue as a board. So that's part of the reason that this committee is going to be so valuable, is I think a lot of those deviations will get flushed out before it makes it to the board meeting, so then the board can make a more informed decision in the adjudication process.
Can you give an example of how that happened?
Yeah, so there's a part of the action that can be taken can lead to a formal interview, but formal interviews are not investigative interviews. So if, say, a licensee was found that they did a root canal that was found to be below the standard of care and potentially warranted disciplinary action, and the licensee requested a formal interview, and in reviewing the case, once it goes to a formal interview, a board member gets assigned to be lead interviewer. And during that review, if that board member found that there is also an open crown margin that the same licensee did on that tooth, couldn't talk about it. You couldn't pursue it. You couldn't ask questions about it. It was out of bounds, so to speak. So, and it was just either not seen by the IRC committee, and then sometimes it would bypass the board and go to like a formal hearing and then back as an interview, and it just tied the hands of the board members. So I think this is going to be a little bit more of a comprehensive review process than what we've seen before to hopefully prevent that from happening. I don't know if I answered your question well, but it was my best shot.
All right. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Those of you that are with us virtually, you can go ahead and leave the meeting if you'd like. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for attending virtually.
Do we need a motion?
No. So what's going to happen now? The people that are attending virtually are probably going to log off because they're not going to benefit from this next part all that well, because now it's just an opportunity to get to know each other if you want. There's snacks over here. There's just water. I know some of you guys were looking for some harder stuff, but that's all we got. That'd be a committee. Yeah. So, and then we invited more of the consultants to come. We got one in the back, it looks like. I'm not sure there's others. Gail's in the back, too. If you want to talk to her about what an audit of a board is, feel free to ask. Gail's going to participate. But when you're ready to go, you don't need to let anybody know. Just head out. And what we'll do is we'll watch. As soon as there's not six members or more present, we'll just mark it down, and that will be the adjournment. So the adjournment, we won't actually have a formal adjournment.
Okay.
So feel free to meet, chat. There is no mask compliance, but if you feel comfortable with a mask, put one on. I don't think